we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud. Yeah. This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm chatting with Diane Herring, whose involvement with the effort to open schools in fall 2020 would become one of the key turning points in the story of Reopen Bucks. Diane is a subject matter expert on right-to-know law, sunshine law, and Robert's rules, and in that capacity, she has provided guidance to countless efforts to get things back to normal. Welcome, Diane. Thanks for chatting with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. I feel like your story is one of the best kept secrets in all of the stories associated with Reopen Bucks, specifically what you did with Right to Know and how that changed things. We're going to get into that, but I'm curious to start out with, how did you get into Right to Know law? Like, why are you an expert on Right to Know law now?
Well, about 10 years ago, one of my kids had an event going on at the high school, and the event was a conflict with a religious holiday. And it prompted me to ask some questions at my first ever board meeting. And I came to find out that I was told that the event was going to be scheduled while school was closed for the benefit of the financial fundraising part of it. So I asked the question, how much money does this event raise? Thought it was a relatively simple question. In the end, nobody could answer. So I turned to people and said, well, how do I get this information? And I was told at a school board meeting by a school board director, well, you could always submit a right to know. And I had no idea what that was. Okay, so I went and did my background research and found out what it was and filled out my first right to know request. I subsequently uncovered tens of thousands of dollars that were misappropriated.
Uh-oh.
I dug down a rabbit hole that went on for about 4 years. And in that process, I wound up taking Penridge to a magistrate hearing in the Office of Open Records. It was me against an entire law firm and the entire administration, and I won. I have a record of 14 appeals against Penridge, of which I've won 13, and one was deemed moot because I had already been given the information. So over the course of years, I accumulated a lot of knowledge. I then found very interesting to go to board meetings, things that years ago we take for granted today in Penridge. Meetings were never recorded, okay? There was no video. Things like an EDR, which most people don't know stands for extra duty responsibility. It's all your coaches, all their salaries, everything. Those reports weren't even handed out. The only way you could find out about it was to actually go to a meeting. I think I still have binders of these reports because I was the only person that collected them. And because I went to board meetings, I went to committee meetings, I learned that committee meetings are way more important than board meetings. People have this great misconception that if you go to a board meeting, you're actually going to accomplish something. It's not accomplished at a board meeting. It's all done at committee, okay? If you want to change something, you want to change a policy, you want to have an open discussion, you go to a committee meeting, okay? It's never at the board meeting. That's just a procedural thing, okay? And over years of turning, going to meetings, I just learned the lingo. I asked questions. I Googled things. I read Robert's Rules again from top to bottom. I had a lot of experience with it much younger in my life, but, you know, I went back and rehashed it. So that's just how I accumulated this knowledge. And over the course of the years, the one thing that became really funny was when Penridge finally decided, after years of a private citizen who no longer lives here, having videoed meetings, they decided at the board level that enough was enough, that the private citizens were posting the meetings up on video, that they were going to invest in doing Penridge meetings online. And it was from that day forward that people would then come up to me at like football games or events and say, oh, it's great to meet you. And I'd be like, who are you? And they're like, oh, I've been listening to you for a long time, speak at meetings. You ask great questions. And how do you know those things? And then I can now see your face and keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, and there was at one point where in the process, I was collecting information. And in the good old days, when things weren't so technology-based, in order for me to get Right to Knows, I had to pay for the copies, 25 cents page. And there was an incident once on literally field trip where a dad came up to me and handed me a bag of quarters and said, keep doing what you're doing. Thank you. And it always stuck with me as like the strangest event ever, like in the middle of a high school event. But that's how it all basically started. Since then, I just keep plugging away at reading agendas. That's your big thing. Read the attachments on agendas. That's the important part.
Like, it sounds like the main point is you dove in. You have to, if you want to really get this stuff, you have to do the work. It's kind of like you got to go to the School of Hard Knocks and just do it.
And you have to read. I mean that sincerely. Don't read the header on something. If you see something, ask for backup for it, because there is backup. Okay, there's always backup. There's always paperwork. There's always documentation. And in the worst case, you just ask for the invoices and just follow the money, because that's what I did. That's how it all started. I just followed the money. And most of what's going on today, most of the problems with reopening the schools, even when you go back to it, it all gravitates down to money.
Money, yep.
There's huge money involved in this. And I don't think yet enough people realize that if you start actually asking about the money part of all of this, people are going to wake up and realize there was a reason they kept schools closed, as much as they've been hesitant to open them, and the caveats to why and how they've opened them. Okay, it's all tied to the money, and there's an audit trail for it. You can find it.
This all leads really nicely, I think, into the story of how you got involved and why that involvement was such a turning point. You mentioned in there the video aspect, and video is becoming a thing. When Kiri and I were looking for where we were going to move from Montgomery County, we were looking at a lot of places all over the region and watching school board meetings as a one way to try to get a feel for what the areas were like. I remember seeing you at the podium giving comments, and you always had like a stack of papers, and you were talking about how you found this and the numbers on that every single time. And, you know, eventually we wound up picking Penridge largely because of the school district and how it felt up here. And just that little seed of you were in the background doing what you felt like you were supposed to do, keeping an eye on the school, doing all of that, that seed would ultimately lead to me just for some reason remembering your name, knowing who you are. Then you're in Reopen Bucks when COVID comes along. Now, I'm curious, before we get into kind of how you really got involved with the schools fight there, what brought you to Reopen Bucks? How did you join the group?
Personally, I was confronted with all of my kids who are now graduated from Penridge. Three of them were home. At the time, my youngest was a senior in high school. School was closed. It was his senior year.
This is terrible.
He lost his prom. He did exceptionally well academically, lost his senior banquet, lost his senior awards night. We didn't even have graduation. Graduation was a staged pretend walk across the high school stage. Everybody had to maintain 20 feet away from everyone else. They gave you a photo, and that was that, okay? My college twins were both, within a week, ordered home, to which my house turned into both the high school and two giant lecture halls. We had to up our bandwidth for internet access, actually. It was kind of funny. And it was one of those things where after a couple, I want to say 7, maybe 8 weeks of the whole thing coming apart in the seams in March, it became apparent to me, just starting to read and starting to dig further than the classic headline, there was a lot more going on here that didn't add up. It didn't add up to me. You know, I didn't feel like some of the stuff was making sense, okay? Some of the rules seemed a little off kilter from just basic health care stuff, okay? And a friend of mine who lives in town actually messaged me one day and said, hey, I found this group I think you'd really enjoy because it's sort of like your speed. So I said, okay, and I logged on. I searched around, and then it had, at the time, there wasn't really any precursor like check-in, so it let me sort of scroll. Okay, I'm like right in. I'm in the original pre-qualified people.
One of the OGs.
And I kind of sort of went through that and looked at posts and stuff and people's comments in them, and it really resonated. There were a lot of people asking good questions. Okay, and then came the playground incident. Okay, and it was in the backyard here, and I had actually wanted to come, but I actually had to be out of town that weekend. But it was my plan to actually come, so it's sort of ironic because I really felt like kids need to be outside, kids need air, kids need to get their energy out. This is not healthy for them. Why are we locking down playgrounds? Just as much as it never made sense to me, like, why are we wiping down the conveyor belt in the grocery store between customers? Just,
yeah, some things didn't make sense.
They just didn't seem
but
logical.
People always like needed to do something. Well, of course we need to tape off the playgrounds, we need to do something.
Yes, exactly. And rather than simply putting, I guess to a certain extent, my professional nature, I'm an operations person, I think in logical steps, it didn't make any logical sense to me. You know, taping off the playground just didn't make,
yeah, what are we accomplishing?
No. So that's how I really got into it. And then you contacted me and said, hey, I think you have some information. I have someone who needs some help, and I think you might be the person that can help them. And they have these questions about right-to-knows. And I kind of chuckled to myself the first message I got because I said, he writes out right-to-know. Let's see how long it takes before he abbreviates it to RTK.
You're like, these guys don't know anything. I got to help them. Yeah.
Well, that's usually my omen. RTK is usually like, if they just start writing the acronym, then I know.
Yeah. And it shows. I mean, really, to be perfectly honest, I knew nothing. I feel like I still know nothing compared to you and the grasshoppers you've trained and all of this with Right to Know. But I remember those words that you always talked about it. I kind of loosely knew there's this thing where you can like apply to get emails and government, you know, records. And it was Jamie Walker who was trying to get information from her school district on why they had flipped over the summer and wound up not going back. And she came to me a couple of times and said, I can't prove this. I just really feel like they're withholding documents from me. They keep saying no and just finding ways to make me go away, you know, tricking me or whatever. But I really feel like they're hiding something here. So I'm thinking and I'm like, oh, I remember. And then I recognized your name as a member in the group because you were participating, commenting and all this. I'm like, all right, let me try to plug you guys in. And I think from there, I mean, you got her those documents. Those were the documents that eventually implicated Superintendent Kopicki and Central Bucks.
Correct.
I can't even remotely begin to describe how much you've done since then with all the different people. Like, we'd be here all night. But essentially, in almost every district, there's like a person that you've spoken with about right-to-knows and how to submit them. And why don't we maybe just go back to that? What is fundamentally right to know? And you had mentioned earlier your appeals to OOR. That's right. Become such an important part of the process here because all these districts are kind of, it's almost like it's a standard now. They're just going to decline you, break the law, whatever, but right, take it to OOR. So what is this process exactly?
Okay, well, first off, Pennsylvania is somewhat unique. We're one of the few states in the country that has a right to know law that is not beneficial to an agency. It's actually beneficial to what they call the requester. That's me and you, okay? Or anyone who wants something, okay? And in the state of Pennsylvania, the law says that any entity that collects tax money from any resource is automatically considered an agency by law, okay? So libraries, schools, county offices, the post office, banks, anybody who has any dealings. That also extends by the law to third parties. So say, for example, you are a school district. You go to contract with a vendor for a service, right? And say you believe that that contract is either flawed or there was something wrong with it or what, you as an individual can get a hold of not only the school district's records, but that vendor's records through the school district because it's considered a third party extension, okay? The rules are simple. And the state of Pennsylvania, in setting up the right to know law, did something that most governmental agencies actually screw up most times. They actually invested in an enforcement entity for right to know law. So not only did they write the law, and the responsibility and the burden is not on us to substantiate why we need something. It is on the responsibility of the agency to prove why it's not a public record. And that is a huge difference in Pennsylvania that doesn't apply in most states in this country, okay? Hmm. We are free to ask for anything we want. The agency has to prove why they should not or are not required to turn it over to us, okay? So you submit your request, and an agency, by law, has to have what's called the RTK officer. Every agency must publicly disclose who is the person that you contact to submit your records request, okay? And a record, in the eyes of the state of Pennsylvania, can be an email, it can be an invoice, it could be a transcript of a meeting, it could be a copy of a contract, it could be an architecture spec for something, okay? Most people don't realize RTK is used excessively by businesses who are trying to get inside information on a future bid for a business or a district, okay? Like they'll send in and say, can I have the specs from the last time you bid this project, okay? And they're able to get that.
Smart, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Once you do that, then it's up to the agency to respond to you. And the law is very clear about how many days they have. There is a difference between business days and calendar days. It's all very spelled out in the law, okay? At that point, once the agency gives you something or tells you they're not giving it to you, that's where the next step comes in, which is what's called the OOR. The Pennsylvania government decided that in giving the right to law its full usage, it also needed to give an enforcement entity. So it created called the Office of Open Records. It's a quasi-governmental agency. It's in Harrisburg. They have magistrate hearings. They have the legal authority, according to the law, to make and rule on decisions. They are entitled to review all records. There are several different mechanisms you can get from the OOR in terms of an agency not wanting to give you something. There's very limited exclusions why an agency can't give you something, for example. They, by and large, should be giving you almost everything. Some of it should be redacted. For example, they're not allowed to give someone's personal address away, okay? They're not allowed to give someone's personal phone number away. You can request, for example, an entire listing of every employee in your school district, their salary, their benefits breakdown, everything. That's all public record, okay? There are a lot of school districts, for example, in Pennsylvania, who don't necessarily hold the philosophical view that they should have to share the information willingly, okay? And I think now more than ever, because people have learned more as time has gone by in the last 2 years specifically.
Like as Diana's gotten involved in training people.
how to ask for stuff. Agencies are now putting up bigger roadblocks, okay? They're inherently turning into what I would call the insurance agency world, which is deny claims until you have to pay someone, okay?
That's a good analogy, yeah.
All right, it's exactly what they're doing right now. Deny, 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 deny until you get to the point where Harrisburg turns around and slaps you on the wrist and says, no, you need to turn it over. You have 30 days, do it now. There's a particular case, which in Jamie's case was one thing, but there's another case down in Montgomery County right now that I'm also involved in where they have to go to court to actually get a judge to enforce what the OOR has ruled, okay? The Office of Open Records has said, turn everything over, and Montgomery County refuses, after having exhausted the process, the appeals, everything else. So now the person has to sue in the court to get the judge to tell Montgomery County, this was what should have happened, and you need to turn over those records. My understanding is there's somewhere over 100,000 records involved in that, okay?
And this was, you mentioned the same thing happened in Jamie's case.
Correct.
So they denied her.
Correct.
She got plugged in with you. You helped her figure out and navigate the OOR. She appealed and won. So the OOR said, okay, Central Bucks, you got to give Jamie Walker these documents.
Correct.
They balked and tried to withhold some of them. They gave her some, but they tried to withhold the important ones and said, we'll see you in court.
Correct. Which as Jamie, when Jamie sent me that, I literally picked up the phone and called her. Because in all of the years,
rare?
It's never happened before.
Hmm.
What happened to Jamie Cohen Walker has never happened before. Okay. No one has ever, as a parent, been sued by their school district to keep them from getting what they were legally awarded, okay? This wasn't even a matter of a gray issue. This was purely black and white. And the worst part of it that I found the most appalling was they were using her own tax dollars to sue her, okay? In the end, I mean, she was, you know, writing checks for her taxes every year, and that money was going to pay for legal fees to turn around and sue her. It just wasn't right, okay? Never before have I ever seen that happen, okay? And it's at that point where I said to Jim, you're just going to have to fight this to the nth degree, okay? Because whatever is in those emails that they are keeping from you, okay, is very bad, okay? And in the end, it did turn out to be very bad, okay? It turned out that there was an entire email thread in which a sitting board director had made it very public to the rest of the board and to others that the superintendent was directly going against the board's wishes, okay? And it was done in conjunction and unbeknownst to the rest of the school board with just the school board president. And I think what really probably broke the dam was that the school board president resigned the presidency a month after Jamie got up at a meeting and said, why are you suing me? Okay. And within 3 months, the superintendent walked out too.
They realized she's not going away. This is going to come out.
Right.
And now you mentioned Montgomery County. The same type of thing is playing out there where the request for records revolves around stuff that you know they're suing the person.
Yeah.
This is going to be a big deal.
It's a huge deal. Huge deal at the end of the day. No matter what happens in that case, I do firmly believe the judge is going to rule in the requester's favor. And even if they only get half of what supposedly is involved, because up till now, Montgomery has had to go on the record with the judge about the size of the records request and what's involved. Even if they get half, I firmly believe you're going to find that what went on in Montgomery County in particular for the last 2 years, as it relates to school closures, mitigation, COVID protocols, testing, who knew what, where, when, and why, who was politically tied into it more so than anything. I think there's going to be a watershed reckoning on that one. Because that there is way too much that they have simply withheld, okay? I've helped people from here to Pittsburgh. I don't know some of these people. They message me and say, I got your name from so-and-so, and I wrote this right to no request, and I can't seem to get anything. And my response to them has always been the same thing, and pretty much anyone who's dealt with me knows this. My first thing is, send me what you've done so far. I need to read it, because I am a firm believer in the fact that the process is set up to work and it does work, but you have to follow the rules of the process. And a lot of times when people first ask for things under the right to know law, they use words that get them in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to be very specific in your word selection about what you're asking for and how you're asking for it. And you have to meet some defined parameters about you must tell them under what time frame. You must give them specific information. And a lot of times, first time right to know request people, They all submit requests. I know what they're asking for, but it's their wording in which they wrote it, okay? So a lot of what I've done for people is just help them rewrite things or ask for different things when, you know, a lot of times they ask for one thing and I said, but you really don't want that. You want something else. And yes, you can have that document. You just need to specifically ask for that document. A lot of times that resolves around people who want to know legal things. Because right to know law does preclude you from getting anything that would be considered attorney-client privilege. If you're asking for something that you would think would be, or you get a district or the county tells you is, you know, attorney-client privilege, there's a lot of other ways to ask for the same information through sort of just the most obvious thing. Send me copies of the attorney's invoices. Because on those, you're going to find out how many billable hours, on what case, on how many did this and who did that. And a lot of times, like I said, it's all about money. And if you can find that an agency spent, you know, $20,000 in legal fees on the same matter, okay, which they wound up losing, it doesn't go well for most entities when they have to stand there and be asked and be held accountable to the fact that you guys let $20,000 in legal fees go out the door for something you were losing.
That's what I wonder now about all of these. It's like we're living in a new world of right to know, since obviously our side has been able to use it to find information that has made big change. You have here in Bucks County at the county level, I feel like they this past fall took a hard turn towards, okay, we're just going to decline everything. It'll go to OOR. And then once it's done with OOR, we'll figure out whether or not we withhold and take it to court. And when you think through the logic of that, like that's just straight up government hiding information, which by law they're supposed to give out. But more insidiously, it's money right into the pockets of the solicitors and the legal teams that are going to have to deal with all this at the taxpayer's expense. Like,
and
what?
And what's worse about what's going on at the county commissioner's level right now, they had an RTK officer. In October, they put a new one in place. And at the same time, they also changed the process for how you submit a right to new to the county, okay? They require an online submission through their own portal. They no longer provide a direct email address. And initially when you tried, it didn't even give you a copy, which is actually against the law. You're supposed to get a copy of your right to
receive.
Yeah, you're supposed to get a copy of the actual request, because when you go to submit an appeal on something, you have to actually have that copy to send to the Office of Open Records in Harrisburg as part of your file, okay? So initially, they were completely bankrupt in process, okay?
And do you think that's incompetence? Like,
I think it's incompetence, and I also think it's somewhat deliberate, and I'll tell you why. The law is very specific about timelines and when something is what they call deemed denied. That means if you send in a request and the person you sent it to doesn't answer you within 5 business days, by law, you can automatically file an appeal. Because the law says it's what they call deemed denied, meaning the agency's either ignored you or they're just flagrantly violating the law, okay? They have to give you an answer in 5 business days. What Bucks County has specifically done has gone to people who've sent things in and not answered them within the 5 days, but then come back on day 8 or 9 and say, oh, we need a 30-day extension. Then we need a 45-day extension. And people have specifically asked them, I mean, we're talking about someone who's an attorney nonetheless, specifically in writing asked them point blank, so if I grant you this extension, will it impact my ability to appeal? Oh, it'll have no impact whatsoever. Well, then the county withheld records, turn around, file an appeal, and what's the Office of Open Records say? No, you broke the timeline law. You're out.
And that goes back to what you were describing before about you've always had the approach like we have to do the right process, the right wording for a reason, when it goes to the OOR, they're not going to have mercy on you just because you got played. They're going to follow the law.
Correct.
So if you're buttoned up, they'll be buttoned up.
And that, and that's always my my personal thing on it, and why people are like, why are you such a stickler about it? Because I go with the assumption that every single right to know request I submit is going to have to go to appeal. So if I know that, I know that the original request needs to be buttoned up, the paperwork on appeals and timelines need to be buttoned up, because I'm submitting that all. And so long as my paperwork's all in order, the rest of it should work. And every time I've done it, it has. So the fact that the county operated the way they did for the last couple months, I recently learned that the Office of Open Records, again, did a very unusual ruling. They actually issued a final determination, which is what they call it in the Office of Open Records, when they rule on your appeal, okay? And I know for some people, it sounds like it's legal. It is a legal term, okay? It is a final determination. It is an appeal you're filing. These are subject to go to court at some point in time, if whether the Office of Open Records does it, whether you as the requester do it, whether the agency does it, okay? But they issued a final determination. The requester disagreed, provided proof to the Office of Open Records that the agency had in fact deliberately misled them. And the Office of Open Records recently issued a reconsideration. So now the whole final appeal, final determination is now all back up in the air again. And it's all related to Bucks County, okay?
Like, this should be an embarrassment to the current county government that they think they're, like, what? I mean, the main thing that people say against those who would request records is, oh, you're just wasting taxpayer funds. Like, Correct. Oh, why are you clogging the system? Correct. What would you say to those people, knowing everything you know and everything you've found over your years with Right to Know?
Couple things. Found a lot of misappropriated money. Okay. I changed a lot of policies for the good in the long run. Okay. They put in safety mechanisms that kept that from ever happening again. Okay. And in my mind, you want to start stealing kid fundraising money, I'm going to take issue with it. Okay. What most everybody's asking for today is on the same thing. They're asking to protect their kids. They're asking why decisions were made the way they were. Why did people say one thing in an email and then write an email that went publicly that said the complete opposite, or they got medical or health, public health advice, and they ignored it. I mean, there was an entire subthread here in the county where, you know, the public health advice was being given out by the county health director, and you have attorneys and school superintendents trying to undermine that.
Yep.
I mean, there's documented email after email. I mean, they literally conspired. Why is the question, okay? And I do believe that there's a number of emails that I've even seen that answer that question. To a lot of extent, it had a lot to do with money. It had a lot to do with teachers' unions, and we were home, and we didn't want to come back to the building, and superintendents who were stuck between parents saying, you need to educate my kid because virtual isn't working, okay? And teachers like, nah, I'm going to sit in my beach house for the summer. I'm not coming in. I mean, I know of a particular incident where a teacher did exactly that. They thought they were going to sit in their beach house and do virtual until the kids highlighted to mom and dad and turned the laptop around. Hey, look where he's at today.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot, but I think the county in particular troubles me very deeply because they had a huge impact, okay? In addition to the IU, which for some people who don't realize, the IU is called the Intermediate Union. Every large area, regional area has one. They normally exist to support the district schools within that region. In Bucks County, we have one IU that has 13 school districts in the county in it. And a lot of the IU's functionality is very good. They exist to help give resources and support to a lot of special needs, a lot of gifted programs, unusual educational circumstances. but they also have a huge influence on the entire region. Okay.
They're like a conduit to the state.
Yeah, they are. And there is emails out there right now that, I mean, I think if anyone were to able to put together and organize a timeline of what went down, who was involved, where they went. I've often joke, even with you guys, we need a giant whiteboard, and I'm not sure one or 10 would do the job, frankly. I feel like a little FBI picture with little strings and dots and pictures of who's connected to who and who did what. I think the county played a much bigger role here than most people understand. And the fact that Dr. Damsker was silenced, and why he was silenced, how he was silenced, who played into that. The emails exist. I just don't think everyday people are ready yet to realize how bad it really was.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, sometimes
a lot of people, to your point, don't want conflict. So right to know and digging into this and going down the rabbit hole where you start to realize, oh my gosh, I'm discovering how these people did this thing that was bad. That takes a little bit of like confrontational ability. And I feel like a lot of people are uncomfortable with that.
Not only that, but as, and it's funny you mentioned rabbit hole. That's exactly what I said to Jamie from day one when she asked me, like, what am I getting into? Because that's usually what people say. And I said, listen, when you start down this process, you're going to get, let's say you ask for one thing. In amongst that one thing, you might get 100 email copies, right? You're going to read them. Because now it's a small thing. You're interested in this one specific topic. I venture to bet you find 5 other things that pop out at you and say, wait, what did they just say? What are they talking about? When did this happen? Okay? You have to pick your rabbit hole, especially in the schools, especially in the counties. Okay? You get information that you just go, wait, when did that all happen? And you kind of just say, it's not really for now. If I have the time, I'll get into it. Because once you start down a project and one direction and asking questions, you inevitably have to ask a ton more.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of resource.
You mentioned your first involvement was fundraising funds, and it was 4 years of...
Yeah, it was. It literally was 4 years, okay? And it stretched across a superintendent, a principal, a couple teachers. You know, I kind of joke when I tell people this and they laugh at me, and I said, okay, so now let me put it to you for quantitative dollars and cents. If you come to Penridge High School, in the gymnasium, outside the gymnasium, there's this lovely wall of plastic picture frames that the kids have all these pictures, and they change out the pictures every year. And it's a very cool looking montage display. And I always say to people, have any idea how much each one of those plastic picture frames cost us? And they go, no. And I said, every single one of them was $1,750.
God.
And guess what? That wasn't even in the installed cost. The installed cost was we then had to pay our janitors at OT to come in and do that and hang all those picture frames. And everybody goes, how much? And I said, well, that's because we bought it from Graham et al. And Graham et al. Was a company run out of somebody's house over on a back street in Doylestown. Oh, and they happened to be related to somebody who worked in the district. And everybody goes, oh. I said, that's why I asked the questions. Because at the end of the day, the vast majority of that money, it didn't even come from taxpayers. It was taken from the students. It was taken from kids like the class of 2009 who didn't even know they walked out of Penridge High School with over $35,000 left in their student account. Okay? There's a reason why I did what I did. Okay? Now, for example, you can't leave money behind in class accounts unbeknownst to the kids. Okay? I also managed to get the prom price changed because they used to take the senior prom and turn it into a fundraiser. So if the contract said it was $89 a head, kids were paying $120 and $130 a head. Who do you think that money was going to? Oh, it got left behind at the end of the year. Guess what? The athletic department just got a brand new gator that drives around with a new athletic director. Guess where that money came from? Oh, that's the leftover money from the class of 2010. But people don't understand. You go down this road, you find the information, now it's what you do with it. And my mission was to make sure that what they did never happened again. That's why I had to keep showing up. It wasn't just about, okay, I made my point, but now how do we fix it? Okay.
It's so relevant to COVID.
It's relevant right now, because what's going to happen here is if you don't do this reconciliation on who said what, where, when, and why, and who was responsible for why the health director said one thing, the IU attorney says another thing, and then you got somebody's husband who is involved, and then you got the county commissioner who doesn't have anything, who's talking to the county executive officer, who's the operation, all these people. And I'm like, wait, who made the decision at the end of the day to change this? Because it was fine. The kids were going back to school. What happened? And if you don't answer that and you don't fix how that happened, what should not have happened, the likelihood that this repeats itself is high. And we shouldn't ever be in a position, I don't think, at least it's not my impression, I will say, that a lot of people realize the globalness of COVID in the aspect that what we did here, the rest of the world did not do. Okay? We made kids wear masks if they were two. Went to England, no child under 12 wore a mask. That's not the rule, okay? They never closed schools, okay? That was considered a necessity, okay? Keeping kids educated was a necessity. And it wasn't just for their education. It was for their social, emotional, and mental well-being, okay? They lost that here. We can't let that happen again. We have to figure out, and this is the part, I guess, that really irritates me with the county's directive right now. They're taking a stance that nobody should know anything and we should all just keep our, you know, go along. It's over. COVID's over. It's fine.
Yeah,
we can move on.
You as crazy.
Right.
For
we can move on. Yeah. No.
Answers.
No. We can't move on. Because until there's a reconciliation, until there's an accounting, and until people who made decisions are held accountable, but more importantly, we build a system, a process that does not allow for this to happen again in the manner it did. I'm not saying there isn't a potential situation where you could ever have some sort of need to do a lockdown for some reason, okay? That exists as a potential. But the process by which it was done and how it happened and who was responsible for making decisions, that needs to really be checked and balanced, because the political side of this and the damage is still unknown. I mean, when you look at kids, I mean, the state withheld test scores. They withheld them for months.
I don't think we'll know for a long time. It's still going to be coming
still
out a couple
don't.
Years from now.
And I, that to me, that's some of the thing where I think people ask me like, why do you do it? Or, you know, I mean, most people don't realize I'll do 200 emails a week about this to people. I'll read 30 different right to know requests. I'll type up appeals for people. I'll tell them how to write things, because of the fact that it has to get better, you know. So every person who's, in my opinion, willing to take the time to write the request, willing to take the time to read the records they get, willing to take the time to show up to school board meetings and committee meetings and do things, or county commissioner meetings. If that means I have to spend a little time helping them understand the process so that they become capable of doing it on their own, in my mind, that's enough. I'm not... looking, you know, and that's part of the other things, like people, you know, I've noticed lately there have been some people who are looking for public accolades, okay? I think, you know, 2 years, I'm not looking for someone to jump up and down and say my name. I'm not looking for someone to, you know, Jamie knows, I know, she'll tell you, I wrote her appeal, I've helped her with what she says in front of board meetings, things like that. She's like, she'll call and say, can I mention your name? Because I know you don't like to be out there. It's like, yeah, it's fine. Okay. But I have no desire to be, you know, the public side of it, because my focus is the more people I can help, the more people I can share my knowledge with, that makes the process better in the end. And it decreases the likelihood that this will ever happen again. Because the more people who are aware, the more people who know, the more people who can ask questions, and they're empowered with how to ask the questions, the less likely we are to have what happened again. And kids were hurt, and that shouldn't happen.
I mean, it's a great legacy to have. That you, I'm just glad you came on the podcast, honestly, because I said at the beginning of this, it's almost like one of those just best kept secrets of the whole story that I don't think anyone will ever really know. Megan Brock is working on a big long form podcast, which hopefully will tell a lot of this story. And you brought up like the IU stuff and all this. I mean, there's just so much time that you've put into not only winning these things and making the changes directly, but training all the grasshoppers, which now you like you look out and you just see all these people who have, you use the great word, empowered. They're empowered to now go forward and do this. Feels like it has definitely changed it moving forward, so that hopefully we've got eyes on now and they can't get away with it again. That's the goal.
That's the goal. And I, as anybody who knows me, I don't hide my profile. You want to private message me. Anybody who listens to this, you know, if you have a question and you submit a request and you don't know, private message me. Okay. I'm around. I'll answer you. I'll do my best to help. There's a lot of stuff also, I think, that people are learning for the first time about how school boards even work. Okay. And that's a whole nother bucket, because it really is important for people to understand how they work, because that's how they can impact change. And that change doesn't just help their child. It can help tens of thousands of kids.
The whole community. It really does make a big difference.
It does.
And we didn't even touch on all that, but you do have that expertise also in Sunshine Law, Roberts Rules. I mean, that stuff really matters.
It does.
When
it does.
When you're trying to affect change on these boards and with what happens.
Yeah, and there's a whole opportunity. If people have questions about that, or, you know, they don't understand why. I also think a lot of times I find this, you know, I see a lot of commentary from people about comments that they make at school boards and why they don't get responses and things and everything. I try to put that in perspective for some people, okay? My knowledge and experience has told me and shown me, as I said initially, what you see go on at an actual school board meeting is a procedural thing. It's not actual tangible work product, okay? That really happens in committee. So showing up to a school board meeting to ask questions, if you really want to impact getting answers to those questions, which I think most people do, if they're going to show up and ask a question, my advice is send the email to the school board the day before the school board meeting and let them know these are the questions I have. And then you get up at public and say, I sent an email to you folks. I just want to make sure you have it. And this is what I wrote you. And I want to know when I'm going to get an answer. Because two things happen. You've clearly given them your expectation of what information you're after and why. And more importantly, you've proven to them you aren't just one of these keyboard warriors. You're actually willing to show up and make a public statement and say, I'm here because I consider the information important, okay? A lot of people make the mistake that if they just show up and ask questions from the podium at a school board meeting, that they're somehow going to get an instant answer. You're not going to. You need to understand it's just like dealing in the adult world of work. You know, you don't just walk into your boss's office and say, hey. The one thing I always say to people, though, about school boards is kind of funny, and they often don't put it in this perspective. You, as the resident in a community and as a taxpayer, are the school board's boss. You elected them. They exist because you put them there. And every administrator in that school district and every teacher works for you. So you're the boss. Now act like the boss. Don't be a raving lunatic. Handle it like you are the boss. Set the parameters, ask questions, and hold them accountable for giving you information and answers. And when you say that to most people, go, oh, I never really thought about it that way. And I'm like, and that would be where you need to change.
That's where you see the school districts that just run away with. Right. They're never held accountable. Their processes become broken because nobody is keeping an eye on things. They just do whatever they want. It right. seems. So, yeah, this is all, it feels like in COVID, obviously this has been a terrible couple of years for everybody, but there are silver linings. The fact that people are paying attention and able to use stuff like this, these laws, which you have a lot of expertise in, that can help affect that positive change, fix processes where they're broken. It's got to be a good thing moving forward.
As much as I hated COVID and what some of the outcomes have been, okay, you're right. I'm equally as happy that I was a parent 10 years ago with high schoolers, and I kept pretty short leash on my kids, okay? There were a lot of parents, I think, who believed that the school was doing everything in their kids' best interest. And I'm really glad that for the last year and a half, in some instances even, parents got a front row seat to what their kids were going through, what they were getting as much as what they weren't getting out of school, okay? Because now it has sort of opened people's minds a little to ask a lot more questions than they may have been. And I gauge that by one thing. Traditionally, it's been my experience at school board meetings consistently 80% of the population who show up at school board meetings are moms, 20% are dads. I've noticed a big shift lately, and I'm quite pleased with it. A lot more dads showing up because I think they're seeing a lot more now also in their world, and a lot more dads are asking a lot more questions. And I think it's a great thing because now they're actually involved together. And right to know, in my opinion, is a great way to get information, and you are legally entitled to that information. It then becomes, what do you do with that information? And I think that that's kind of, in my mind, at least from a reopen perspective, if there was one legacy I would look for, is that change is affected, not that we just do move on, but we need to move on in a different way. We affect change.
Yeah. We will see. Fall's coming and cases are going to go up. But you trained the grasshoppers.
Yep.
We got a lot of right-to-know warriors out there now.
Exactly.
So, look, thanks. I can't even say thanks enough for being such a part of this story, doing everything you've done. It's definitely been like a background thing. I'm excited about this, getting this story out there. This is cool. And thanks for coming on.
No problem. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I really enjoyed helping people because of the aspect that everyone really did care. You know, it wasn't just a slight thing. Everyone I've come in contact with and people who've sent in the right to know requests and have questions and follow up and things, they really do care. And
well, you had mentioned in there, and this is a great place to end it, There were some people along the way who wanted to have their name on things but not do the work.
Right.
And right to know, doing this, going to the school board meetings, tracking down all the rabbit holes that you have to figure out things like this is work. This takes a lot of work. What you, Jamie, Megan, these people did, it's a lot. And so it really tells you like who is in it to actually affect change, fix things, make things better for the kids, and who is kind of just riding coattails is the way I see it, maybe.
Yeah, there are some people, and I'm not, that will tell its own story in time,
right.
Okay? You know, there's a lot of people who are willing to do things or invest their own personal, as I used to call it, to the Penrith School Board, the kids' sweat equity. It's the same thing, okay? If you're willing to put your sweat equity into it, that in the end always comes out. There's a couple people running around lately haven't really actually broken a sweat on much of anything. And that'll come out in due time.
Yeah, agree with you. Well, thanks for being someone who put in the sweat. We did good things.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, catch you later.